Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's L-O-N-E-S-T-A-R Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
Today you will hear four stories that will leave you wondering what else is out there. A massive, silent object is seen moving slowly across the tree line. A man, on his deathbed, gets visited by a loved one. A child makes a dark prediction about their mother's future. And an outdoorsman witnesses a 2-foot-tall, strange man trudging along a forest road. Today's episode is all about perplexing paranormal Reddit encounters. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Perplexity, a Mystery Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Kadra. If you're new to the show, hello and welcome. I tell tales every single week that have perplexed me. So if you love a good mystery that leaves you wanting more, don't worry, you're in the right place. And if you end up enjoying today's Perplexing Paranormal Encounters episode, I would love if you continue to follow along. If you are a returning listener, hello, my friends. Welcome back. I'm so happy you're here today. I'm excited to be getting into these creepy stories. And for today's paranormal Reddit stories, I have my friends back. You know them. You love them. Tyler and Charlie from Believing the Bizarre podcast.
Hello. Hey, thanks for having us. I take umbrage at the description. I may be short. I am not 2 feet tall.
You're the 2 foot tall man trudging along the forest road, Charlie.
It was probably
not 2 feet, but
I mean, they saw me and they assumed it was 2 feet. They didn't have a measuring tape. They didn't know.
I just appreciate that you didn't call us Believing in the Bizarre.
Me too.
That would be pretty insane if that's what I called you guys by now.
Well, yeah.
Well, by now.
Yeah, by now is fair.
I am excited to get into these with you guys. Y'all do something similar on your show, and I know we have a lot of mutual listeners, but if you guys aren't listening to Believing the Bizarre, they do Terrified together, and you guys always seem to like my Reddit stories, so go check theirs out, and if you still haven't checked out their podcast, what are you doing?
What have you been doing? It's 2026.
Yeah, come on, guys. They've been on so many times. Well, before we get started, I would like to just remind everybody for just a quick second about the Patreon. As always, you can check out the Perplexed Society. So that's patreon.com/perplexitymysterypodcast. You get early ad-free episodes for just $2 a month. And if you want endless bonus content, more than you're going to know what to do with, you can start at the $5 tier or more. And so I just released an episode about John Hay, an English serial killer from the 1940s. His crimes have become known as the Acid Bath Murders, and that was at a patron's request. So patrons' requests always get prioritized. They get bumped to the front of the queue. And so there's lots of perks over there in a community. So you can always go check out the Patreon if that interests you.
Acid Bath, isn't that just like the British water?
Oh, that's Flint, good point.
Flint, Michigan water. Is that the drug acid or is it like the Joker acid? Yeah. That's a legitimate question. I don't know about this case.
Like, good what point. Is the... He got rid of their bodies using vats of acid.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Didn't
But I understand the confusion there.
Didn't that Scottish guy do something like that to you? Or he dissolved? What was his name?
The Scottish guy.
He's Scottish. Yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah. He's Scottish.
They call him, I don't know.
They call him the Jeffrey Dahmer of England.
Oh, okay.
Dennis Nielsen?
I honestly don't know, but I know that this guy said he was inspired by like some French murderer that did the same thing.
French.
Do a Goog.
The mixed serial killer.
the French are so inspiring. I was fucking right. Dennis Nielsen.
Okay. Dennis Nielsen. Well, I do want to just let everybody know before we get into these Reddit stories, they have been slightly rewritten, as I'm sure you guys know, for
as they
grammar,
must.
For grammar, for story sequence. So just FYI, and I'll shout out the users as we go through, unless they deleted their account, then that's just part of the...
Yeah, you judged it from a C paper to an A plus, probably.
Probably. There were definitely some things that just did not flow. There is a trigger warning for one of the stories for child loss. Other than that, I don't really think there's any triggers for today. And the only source was Reddit. So are you guys ready for perplexing paranormal Reddit encounter stories?
Yeah, let's do it.
Absolutely.
Okay, let's get into it. This first story comes from Reddit user Slipknot_official. And it is from the High Strangeness subreddit.
Wait, is the actual Slipknot the band?
It's the band. Yeah, the band.
That'd be crazy.
While touring.
We might have someone famous writing in. It's a UFO encounter. So.
Oh, I don't believe it.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So Slipknot_official says, quote, I've had random experiences of seeing strange lights far up in the sky, sometimes fast moving and turning on a dime. But one instance in particular 12 years ago is something I'll never forget. I was at work delivering pizzas at the exact spot where the well scenes from the movie The Ring were filmed, Warm Beach, Washington. It was about 6 p.m. in the middle of the summer in a wooded area. I turned a corner when I saw something massive appear into my view just above the trees. It felt like my brain was trying to process something that it had never seen before. It was the weirdest feeling. But it finally clicked what I was seeing, and so I stopped and pulled over. I got out of the car and gazed upon a massive object. It was larger than a C-17, maybe 400 feet. Dark gray and ovalish in shape. It looked like it was flying awkwardly sideways, and it was moving incredibly slow. So slow, I thought it might drop out of the sky. I counted 16 neon lights of varying sizes. Small green lights, large blue lights, and medium red lights. The colors shimmered in an odd way. I watched it a couple minutes as it silently glided over the trees. I was in shock, but it was really beautiful. It felt like I was witnessing something from the future, something no one had ever seen before. Then the object just glided off into the distance. I remember looking around to see if anyone else was there, but I was completely alone. I haven't seen anything like it since, but it was an incredibly cool experience. End quote.
That would be one of the cooler, like if you had to interact with the UFO, it's a pretty good experience.
Yeah, it's like a mothership.
What's a C-17? Is that just a big plane?
Big plane? Yeah.
Yeah, it's a gigantic plane.
Could you imagine how poor of a representation aliens would have of us if they came to Earth and they abducted Samara from the ring?
Dude, I was thinking this is actually just Samara.
Is this what all humans
by.
Are like?
She's like 7 days.
Like, we promise we're better than that. Like, that would be like from no experience with humans to abducting Samara.
Yeah, she gets all up in their ship and like messes with the electronics and stuff.
Oh, yeah, she would wreck that shit.
I feel like that location just adds to the mystique, because I'm imagining creepy woods. It's already a little bit unsettling, but then the encounter itself doesn't sound scary. It sounds like they were just very fascinated by it.
I've never seen The Ring. I don't plan to see The Ring.
You are 100% gonna see it for one of our movie nights or something.
I want to do it. I'll be sick. I'll,
yeah, you have to.
I'm sick.
It's not scarier than like The Evil Dead.
Oh man, it's creepy. Oh, that though, that's a pretty high bar. So
it's classic.
So is The Godfather. I've never seen that either.
It's super creepy. But
right, you got to watch The Godfather, too.
Let's do that one for the horror movie review. That'd be good.
Listen, no. He gives me so much crap for not watching The Sopranos, and you've never seen The Godfather?
Yeah, no. I tried to watch it. I thought it was boring.
I was curious what you guys thought about all the lights, because at first when I read it, I was like, 16, that seems so specific. But I also was like, if they were staring at it for a long time and trying to get in all the details, or like, you know how you can remember a lot of details when something's kind of like traumatic, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. That's the other thing I thought about.
I had the same thought, and I had to like turn that part of my brain off because like we'd be rating whether or not we believe it. And I'm like, so I'm already like criticizing. I'm like, stop, because that would be a detail that make me think it's not real. But yeah, then later in the submission, they were like, I stared at it for a few minutes. So, I mean, if you're like staring at this thing for, you know, like 180 seconds, you might have time, 16 to count that. I wonder if it was rotating or if it was just completely hovering. But
yeah, I mean, I was kind of wondering the same thing. And with it being on its side, seemingly, it makes it seem like it was rotating. Yeah.
Do you guys see the guy from, like, I picture the guy from Slipknot wearing the masks while watching the UFO.
Even for that, he didn't take the mask off.
No, he can't reveal face the world. But I think it's a cool detail. It makes it, to me, it makes it more believable. Because, like, okay, airplanes have lights. Why wouldn't UFOs have lights for their ground control?
Yeah.
I guess they have radios. But the airplanes have lights. That's my point. It makes sense that UFOs have lights. Or maybe it's a type of communication because it's, unlike Project Hail Mary, most things have eyes, right? So it makes sense that you would communicate with lights.
The UFO only has a VHS player, so I can watch Samara's Ring video.
They're like, we're here, we have to watch it. Yeah, maybe they're fans of The Ring. Maybe that's why they were there.
Oh, yeah, they're just checking out, too.
Yeah.
It's like
sightseeing.
It's like Mecca for aliens.
So 12 years ago, I guess we don't know when it got published. But I'm trying to think. So 12 years ago from now would be 2014.
Yeah,
so
and I think it's a few years old.
Okay,
I should have put that in here.
2010. I'm trying to, like, we have smartphones.
That's prime Slipknot.
With cameras. Well, I'm just thinking, like, this is new enough that somebody could have had a phone. Like, I'm shocked if he was able to look at it for multiple minutes.
He was enjoying his life. He was unplugged, bro.
Tyler, you should know by now they never get a picture or it's a really bad picture.
Yeah.
Or like Charlie, they just deleted it.
No. Okay. I was in eighth grade. All right. He brought up something very old. I had a really good ghost picture when I was in eighth grade, which is a long time ago at this point, and I lost it to the sands of time.
Where were you?
Washington, D.C. I was.
Okay.
Not
Washington State where this was.
No. I was going over the river, the big famous river, the one where George Washington sailed across when it was frozen. Can't remember the name of it, but we're going across that bridge. I took two pictures back to back really quick, like one and then two. The first one was normal, just a really cool picture over the water. And the second one was like blacked out and there was a face right in it. But I can never prove it because I don't have the picture anymore.
Do you still have the first picture?
No. That'd be crazy if I had the first one. Here's this landscape of Washington, D.C.
Pixar, it didn't happen.
Yeah, no.
That's what I'm saying.
I know. I'm a big old liar.
And I just, with this story, I don't know what else it would be besides a UFO.
Government.
You think that big, 400 feet, allegedly?
I mean, potentially. Potentially, right? It could be the government, potentially. I don't think so, personally, but.
That's huge, though. I would be trying to find other witnesses. But this is even like nowadays, like every town has a Facebook talkative town. But this is, you know, 15 years ago.
Yeah.
Probably not the case.
Well, and that's what they had said is like they were like, well, I think they looked around after it left, but they like looked around to see if anybody was there and it was just them alone.
It's the middle of the wilderness too, right?
Yeah, it was like in the woods.
Yeah, Bigfoot popped his head out. He's like, that was crazy, huh? And just,
all right, peace.
Yeah.
Oh, that's true. That is Washington State. Yeah. Okay, well, let's get into this next story.
Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's LoneStar Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
This comes from Mary Somm with like four or five A's, and it's from the Paranormal Encounters subreddit.
Hell yeah.
So they say, quote, my dying fiance saw people that I could not. I was with my fiance for almost 12 years before he was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. Towards the end of his life, he was sent home from the hospital and put on in-home hospice care. It was only a matter of time. So his first night home, after everybody visiting had left, I was home alone with him. I could tell that he was slowly losing his mind. The cancer had spread because he was saying things that didn't make any sense. For example, he would pick up an imaginary item, hand said item to me, and say, "Here, put this in your purse." So one day, I was sitting in a chair next to his bed when he looked up, past me, and said, "Why is she here?" I was confused and asked, "Who are you talking about?" And he said, "Your Gram." My grandmother lived where we lived. We moved into this house after she was put in an assisted living facility because she had dementia. She passed away in 2017. I told him to follow her and see what she wanted, but he got so scared that he didn't want to go. So the next night, I sat next to him again, and once again, he asked, "Who are they?" I asked who he was talking about, and he said, "In the hallway," but nothing was there. A few nights later, he saw my grandmother again. This time, he wasn't scared, but I didn't press him further. He passed away the next morning, holding my hand, surrounded by family. He died on the 4th anniversary of my grandmother's death. It's been 2 years since he passed, and I still sense him, especially at night when I'm in my bed. I feel him in the corner of the room sometimes, just watching. Sometimes I'll say out loud, "Please don't scare me," and I'll feel his presence walk across the room and out of the door. I have since moved on to a new place, but I still sense him at my new home as well. I don't exactly see him, but at the same time, I can sense how his presence looks, how he's dressed. It's like he's his old, healthy self again. I'm wondering why he hasn't moved on, but I guess he's waiting to make sure that I'm truly happy and okay. End quote.
That's incredibly sad and creepy.
I got such mixed feelings about this story.
There's a lot in this one that we could talk about.
That's really creepy to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. It goes from like heartwarming to then like.
Did it go from heartwarming?
There was, well, like, was the fact that she was there for him and the grandma connection and stuff and like died with family around and like, but then it's like he's always around. Like, then I just imagine the next time she brings a guy over,
she goes on a date. This,
Who's he? You know, it's like, who said that?
Oh my gosh. Yeah, seriously. Like,
or he'd be happy because she moved on.
That wasn't the mind.
Negative Nancy.
She was saying, "Please don't scare me."
And he, like, and he, I don't know. It's creepy. It's very creepy. The idea that, like, because he was so close to death, he was close to the veil, and therefore he was able to see into it.
It's interesting because I feel like some people would find the comfort of a lost loved one comforting, but not everybody understands the paranormal and like handles death differently. I guess I've just never heard a story like that before where they're like scared that they're there.
I've heard that before, like, especially like when they're not that close. They're close, but not that close yet. And then as they get closer, they're like, "Oh, thank God Bob's here." But how scary, like just the biology of cancer freaks me out. Like the idea of like, him not really understanding what's going on. Like, he hands her the invisible objects. It's just like that. Mm-hmm. Oh, what a bummer.
That is one of the scary things in the real world of, like, imagining. Because I feel like it's the same thing as, like, getting older. Where, I don't know how you feel about this, Cage, or Charlie and I have talked about it. Like, we see, like, celebrities and athletes and get older. And you see them physically get older. But, like, we still have the mindset that's, like, that's not going to happen to us, though.
Yeah. You know, if I get,
obviously.
If I get stage 4 cancer, I'm dumb.
But, you know, but like the mental deterioration part is also super scary because it's not like, you know, it's you have no control over it. And I think sometimes you can sense it's happening and sometimes you can't. Mm-hmm. But like that not being aware of it, like that is truly terrifying.
All you have to do is eat a lot of fish oil, right, Tyler? That'll fix it.
Fish oil?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
It's good for you.
It's good for you.
Oh, it's a morbid joke. It's a morbid joke.
Okay.
I work in healthcare, so I appreciate life a lot more, and I also am used to hearing stories like this in a sense. I work with cancer patients a lot. I work with cognitively declined patients a lot. So something that's like near and dear to me when I hear stories like this, and I try not to like take my mind for granted because, yeah, it sucks. And I feel for this person who lost their fiance. That's horrible. I did think it was interesting. They said that their fiance died on the 4-year anniversary that their grandma died. And the grandma was the one who lived in the house before and visited him.
I had such an insensitive thought at the moment, which I feel bad about thinking, but I'm still going to tell you guys. She was like, well, it's my anniversary. Coming with me. Damn, grandma.
She's like, let's celebrate.
Yeah.
Kadra, how did the end read to you? Did it read creepy or did it read comforting?
The very end of the story?
Well, just like the part where she could sense him around.
It did read kind of creepy to me. Yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting that, to be honest.
I also thought it was interesting how she described how she couldn't see him, but she could see him.
Mm-hmm.
In the room, like, could kind of describe how he looked and everything. It's just that concept of how that connection is with our brains and senses, I think, is really interesting. And then same with, like, the fiance was seeing these people leading him to the other side or whatever, and Graham, like, that's just always so interesting to me, is that concept of, like, what's real, what's not real, and what does that even mean?
How many couples say, like, I'm going to haunt you after you die, or if I die? It's just like, you're never going to get rid of me. Like, and that's a...
But don't be scared.
That's a super common thing, though.
But they weren't even married. That it's the idea of...
Well, many people are not married, Tyler.
No, what I'm saying is that...
You could have put a ring on it.
No, I'm saying they weren't even together like that. But if she's always sensing his presence around, I feel like that would be a weird dynamic if you started meeting someone new.
Yeah. It would be weird. They were together for 12 years. So, I mean, that's a very significant amount of time.
Yeah,
but
it's like, that's like common law married at that point. Yeah. No, I mean, I think to defend this ghost, I think when she does move on, he will accept that. I think he's just protecting her until then.
That is not the vibe I got, but I like that thinking.
Yeah, I like that idea more. But I don't know. I got like a creepy read from it with the please don't scare me. And then her feeling his presence leave the room as well.
Mm-hmm. I think he understood that he was scared. I think, god damn it, you guys are backing me into this corner of defending this ghost. Like, he was there and she's like, oh, don't scare me. And he's like, well, shit, I didn't mean to scare you. Goodbye. I'll see you later in the daylight, probably. That's what I read it as. I don't know.
I gotcha. I think there are a lot of mixed emotions to it. I don't know why, but it's reminding me of Haunting of Hill House, because I've watched that show so many times, and that show is all about like all of the different emotions that you are taken through in a haunting and like in death. And I don't know, that's what I'm getting here.
That's some amazing jump scares. And I loved how they hid people in the background of so many of those scenes.
It's so well done.
I've not
I'm
seen
obsessed.
It.
Mike Flanagan.
You have to, Charlie.
That
it's
sounds
so good.
We just added three things to the
sounds
list.
Sounds too spooky.
Charlie.
I don't know.
Here's my catch.
Charlie, you would love it. Because I know how you feel about The Last of Us, and it's so like heartwarming and scary and intense. Like I
don't think he would like it, but I do want him to watch it.
You don't think he would like it? I would
no,
be
he'd
shocked.
Be so scared. He would be so
I'm a scaredy cat.
Well, The Last of Us is scary, and you played that.
That's zombies. You can shoot zombies. You can't shoot a ghost.
when they're driving and arguing, and then I think her name was Nell.
Oh my god!
Like, pops out in the middle.
Spoilers.
I like you don't
yeah,
care.
Yeah, spoilers.
Did you watch the Fall of the House of Usher, which I think was also Mike Flanagan?
No,
yes.
I saw the other one. I saw something. You said it wasn't that good, but I thought it was pretty good.
Fall of the House of Usher.
Bly Manor.
Yeah,
Bly Manor.
No, wasn't that one? I don't know what the hell it was.
Okay, but Tyler, do you think out of all of them, because that one's like the least scary and more romantic, that might be a good intro for Charlie?
Well, he might have already watched it. Is that the one you watched?
I don't know.
The Haunting of Bly Manor.
I'm texting Steph right now. So what was that ghost show we watched?
Because that one, I think, is a good intro. Midnight Mass is my favorite, but I don't know. That one's pretty scary.
I almost put that one on for funsies, and I was like, oh, this is supposed to be really scary, because Ben said it was really good.
Did you see Midnight Club?
What was it?
Oh, that's good, too.
That was only
Club.
One season. It got canceled, unfortunately.
No.
I love the Midnight Club.
Haunted it's Hotel really is great, Cage. I don't know if you saw that one.
No. Is that also Flanagan?
No.
No, that's an animated
It's very
short.
Fun.
Not interested.
No,
I'm just kidding.
It's really good.
It is really good. It is actually
Haunted Hotel.
Different
okay.
vibe. Different vibe.
It's like silly. It's like put it on when you're doing other stuff.
I'd say in the same family as like Family Guy.
Family Guy meets Rick and Morty meets Haunted House.
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds right up my vibe, or right up my alley. Actually, you're making me wonder if I saw like an episode of this. Is it like a family that runs a haunted hotel?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the guy's like, be cool, everybody. Like, this family's coming to stay here and the ghosts are like acting insane.
Yes, I have seen that.
But I think I only watched like the first episode or something and just didn't finish it for some reason. So I need to watch more because I did like it. Okay. So let's get into this next story.
Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's LoneStar Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
This next story, the user deleted their account, but it is from the Paranormal Encounters subreddit, and this is where the trigger warning for child loss comes in. I'm not going to read the title because it gives it away. When I was around 20 weeks pregnant with my third child, my other two daughters were 4 and 1 at the time. I was sitting on the floor making a fire in the fireplace. My sister was on her way over to watch the girls, while my husband and I went to our ultrasound appointment to find out what we were having. I had the strongest feeling that it was going to be a boy. While I was building this fire, I was talking to my oldest daughter. We'd been talking about the baby a lot, and while we talked, my daughter sat in our office chair, just spinning around. I asked her, "Okay, Lily Bean, who do you think is in mommy's tummy, a baby brother or another baby sister?" Without missing a beat and still spinning around in the office chair, she said in her tiny, sweet voice, "Oh, mama, that baby is not going to come out of your tummy. That baby's going to stay in heaven, but it's okay." I was angry with her for saying that, and I walked over to her. I stopped her from spinning, and I sat down in front of the chair and asked her, "Why would you say something like that?" She simply said, "Because I know." She wasn't sad. She was just normal Lily. Long story short, my husband and I went to our appointment that day, and there was no heartbeat. On the ride home, I told my husband what had happened with Lily. He wrote it off and reminded me how weird kids are. I took 2 days leave after that and decided my baby building days were done. It took about 2 years to get through the grief. I still don't understand how she knew. She said she doesn't remember this at all, but I remember that house and I remember that day very well. End quote.
Ooh, ooh, that little girl would be grounded for life. I'd be so, so mad at her. That'd be, oof.
This is a whole different layer of horror movie dad. Because normally a horror movie dad is that way with the kids, and I can almost understand it to a certain degree where he's trying to protect the kids. But yeah. This is your wife. And you're just gaslighting.
You like, imagine, can't explain that away.
Right.
You literally can't.
They're just driving the car after they get this traumatic news. And he's like, "You know how kids are. What are we eating tonight?" Like,
yeah, those what? Darn kids. That's insane.
And so it was a 4-year-old, right? I missed the Lily was the 4-year-old.
I would assume.
She was 26.
Because the other one is 1 year old.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, I'd be so mad. I'd be so mad.
Who would you? Where would the anger be
at
directed?
Lily.
But it's not like Lily caused it.
No, but she shouldn't say that.
That's a teaching moment that outside the family, you should not say that. But she's also right.
I'm trying to like visualize it from a kid's point of view because like she's 4 and kids don't understand death. I feel like the baby visited her or somebody visited her. And so she knew that he was already gone. And she was just informing, matter of fact, like, don't worry, mom, it's okay. But like this happened, but he's in heaven. It's okay. It was almost like, yes, matter of fact, but also like comforting at the same time. It reminds me of those reincarnation stories of kids. They have those really weird experiences when they're younger of living another life.
Yeah.
And it makes me wonder how much she was connected to this child that she had never met.
That had to be such a crazy... Between the time period when she talked to Lily to when they went to the doctors, because obviously it was on her mind, but then she probably downplayed it because she's like, she's just saying things. But then when it was confirmed, that had to be such a surreal, really traumatic moment.
Yeah. I couldn't even imagine that.
Yeah. I mean, she said it took her 2 years, understandably.
I'd say more than 2 days off work.
Yeah, I know. Well, I don't know where this was, but that's the joke about our healthcare system. I mean, yeah, I just thought it was really fascinating. And I've heard stories, not to this level, but friends of mine who have kids, and I know you guys have talked about this on your show before, but how kids are more sensitive and they'll say things or see things sometimes where you're like, oh, this is a horror movie.
It's uncomfortable because they're closer to the veil.
It's so hard to determine, like, what's the difference between them just being silly versus them, like, truly seeing something, though.
Right.
And, you know, it's like when you're in a paranormal thread or you're listening to a paranormal podcast, obviously, it leans that way. But, like, if you're physically with a child and they say something weird, you in that moment have to quickly try to determine, like, do I take this seriously? Are they being silly? Like, you know, or you maybe just, like, ignore it. And then, like, 20 minutes later, you bring it back up and see if they are as adamant about it as they were previously. But
yeah,
sometimes they just say weird things.
You got to take everything as a code red, Tyler. So it is. Everything's a code red. Everything's real. It's all happening. Everything is based in reality, you know? So
everything Joey says is true.
Probably a little bit.
The title, by the way, and I'm realizing I should have like known the, because it 4-year-old is in the title. But anyway, so the title is My 4-year-old Daughter Predicted My Miscarriage.
Yeah, she did.
It's a great sense summary. In case you didn't want to read it, you wanted the cliff notes.
TLDR.
Okay, so I have one more story for y'all. So this one comes from Reddit user Silver-Honkler, and it's from the Paranormal subreddit.
Some of these names would kill me.
Wait, do you guys get to pick your own names? Like, did you guys pick your Reddit names?
Yeah, Tyler, everyone can do that. You can still do that.
My name is Historical Parsley, and I don't think I'm ever going to change it.
I like it.
That's pretty good. Yeah, I've heard you can get them generated or you can make your own.
Might have missed that shit. It already.
Yeah, I made mine. I named mine after my dog and also one of my favorite movies. Kid,
oh, there you go.
Are you on Reddit?
I mean, yeah, but like, I don't really post on there.
I don't have an account.
I have an account. I just don't like, I don't post. I'll like just lurk.
Have you, have you joined the Believe in the Bizarre subreddit?
No,
You should do that.
Yeah.
A lot of memes.
A lot of memes. It's a good time. It's a fun time.
Yeah. I love y'all's memes. Y'all's memes crack me up. I always read your meme posts on Instagram.
Good. Yeah. Ben does a really good job with that.
Yeah, those are hilarious. Okay. So let's get into this last story. Quote, I don't even know how to say this, but I think I saw a gnome in the National Forest yesterday. I'll be the first to admit I thought these types of cryptids were a joke and not real. I've never been able to take them seriously. I'm an outdoorsman, and I have been for 35 years. I grew up in the woods, so I know every brook, stream, bush, berry grove, log, you name it. So I was walking on a forest road one day on hour 9 of not having seen a single soul. I bent down to gather some mushrooms when I looked up on the road, and I noticed that a rock had fallen from a loose, steep side of the mountain into the middle of the road. I made a mental note to move it later and not drive over it. I finished gathering my mushrooms, then I started heading back to my car. Just then, I looked ahead, and I saw what appeared to be a 2 or 2.5 foot tall little brown creature walking from the side of the road over to the rock. My first logical thought was that it was a squirrel, but then I saw it was ambling along on 2 legs. It appeared to be wearing brown cloth or furry clothes. It was like a human, but very tiny. I couldn't believe my lying eyes. It had to be something else. I got back in the car and drove up the road towards where the rock had been to find that the rock had been pushed off to the side of the road. There were drag marks, like someone had slid the rock over. I looked around and listened. Nothing. I don't know where gnomes live, but the old, partially logged section where I was at looked pretty perfect for a clan of these things. Lots of places to hide, near the water, plenty of easy escape routes. I cannot pick this apart into anything else but being a tiny little forest man. Of note, this was near a military special interest zone, and the area is allegedly blocked off to protect native butterflies. But I'm starting to wonder if this research area is really about butterflies after all. If someone trespasses here, they can be banned from the park, fined, and even sent to prison. End quote.
I love this story. I love this story.
My dude was picking the wrong mushrooms.
No, wrong mushrooms. No, he was stone cold sober because he's a professional.
He was stone sunk.
Oh my God.
Fight.
I believe it. It's the Fae and the government knows it. That's why there's a butterfly zone. No, it's so you don't
there's
see.
There's no butterfly zones.
I know. Yeah, for gnomes and fairies.
You ever been to Key West? There's a bunch of butterflies.
And also fairies.
I feel like butterflies and fairies are best friends.
They probably do. Like, okay, what if like Fae ride the butterflies like horses?
Ooh.
Yeah, hardcore.
That'd be cool.
In my head, that's pretty awesome. That's it happening. I'm pretty sure.
I think it'd be more like, well, like the Lord of the Rings or the bad orcs are riding those flying things.
You mean the Nazgul?
Nazgul, yeah.
That's not an orc. That's the 12 kings.
Well, you were talking about riding a butterfly is they fly.
Oh, okay. I see what you mean. Yeah.
Unless you mean their caterpillar form.
Both forms. I think it's a gnome. I think it's a gnome that lives in these forests, and that's why they section off these. They don't want people to interact with the nature spirits to get them away from their core, away from their roots, away from the nature spirits, and that way we're less connected to it. You should be all about this, Tyler. That way we're less connected to nature.
No, my man was picking mushrooms, and then he's like, oh, look, a squirrel. Oh, wait, no, it's a little dude wearing brown pants. Mm-hmm.
It reminds me of the Pukwudgie.
Yeah, it does remind me of also me. I see that.
Yeah, I'm for Pukwudgie or brownies.
Yeah, let's go brownies.
Because brownies are helpful.
Mm-hmm.
And it moved the
Not
rock.
On Sundays.
It moved the rock out of the way for him. Yeah. There were little drag marks.
I hope in my house that we have a brownie. I think we have some kind of Fae here. I hope it's a brownie. It's not Quinshawn Junkins or who's Brown. Shador. He's a Brown player.
Shador?
He's here, actually. He's in my house right now.
That'd be pretty cool. He's just in the back just hanging out. Yeah.
No.
Yeah, so, forget Miles Garrett. Let's try and get Shador on the podcast. Charlie legitimately wants to get Miles Garrett.
I do. I think we can.
That would be crazy.
He's probably by you, Cater. He's a Texas guy.
Yeah, well. Yeah? Yeah, but his girlfriend's from California. So that's the gnomes, I guess. My instinct is to ask you, do you believe in the gnomes, Cater?
I mean, I have never had an experience and I haven't like studied them enough to like know.
Okay, what about Fae?
So my first
she's trying to let you I know. She's trying to let you down softly.
I've had this conversation with many girls and they always let me down.
I'm open to the idea, but yeah. I'm like that with everything. If I haven't had the experience myself, then yeah, I'm open to the idea, but I'm not gonna be like, yes, that's real when how do I know?
What about
now I have to ask if you believe in aliens.
Same thing. I'm open to the idea. I've had paranormal encounters with like ghosts or what I would attribute to ghosts that I can't explain. So like I believe in that, but I haven't had any other experience. And I don't know someone close to me that's had an alien experience or like a gnome or a fairy experience where I would find it more believable right now. But
yeah, you won't find that.
You absolutely might.
I'm agnostic for a reason. I'm very open to the idea of things, you know?
He just likes to, I know what he's doing.
Well, I know which story was Charlie's favorite, but let's recap. So we have the large object flying in the woods, maybe a UFO, maybe not. We have the fiance who saw his deceased grandmother and kind of haunted her afterwards. We have the daughter that predicted the mother's miscarriage, and then we have the little Pukwudgie or gnome situation in the woods.
Yeah, that second one is truly haunting.
Yeah. Yeah.
If I had to experience one, I would like the first one. But in terms of the one that I'll probably think about like a month from now, probably the second one.
Yeah. I hope you experience the fourth one. I hope you see a gnome and it just like comes out in front of you and waves its little hat and you just have to face that.
Well, every time I go mushroom hunting, I'll keep my eyes peeled for squirrels.
You just got to spend more time in the woods, Tyler. Eventually,
yeah, more time.
You'll see a fairy. Or
Charlie, how jealous would you be if I'm the one that had the fairy experience?
I wouldn't be jealous. I'd be happy that your worldview is collapsed.
He's like, I told you so, finally.
He's like, yeah, I'm under contract to leave out honey and milk now, so.
I think just because it's like the most difficult to break apart or explain, my most quote-unquote favorite, even though it's really dark and sad, would be the daughter that predicted her mother's miscarriage. Because how do you explain that? Other than her just quote unquote, not the right terminology at all, but getting lucky. Like, that's not what I mean. But like what? But why would you just say that, you know, when you're four?
The anger I felt directed toward a little girl. I don't know what that means about me, but I was mad for them toward her. I don't know. I was just upset. The whole thing made me upset.
Mm-hmm. See, it's interesting because I didn't get angry toward her. It's more, I'm more upset with the husband for being like, that was silly. It's nothing.
Yeah, me too.
I wonder what the relationship between the mother and Lily was like following that. Like, I'm sure they're fine now. And I don't think you could justifiably be upset with her long term.
Yeah, well, and it's kind of upsetting thinking from the mom's position, too, because Lily doesn't remember that anymore. And then her husband never believed her. So it's like she's experiencing this by herself.
Mm-hmm. Do you think the husband truly never believed her, or he just was trying to cope in his own way? Because that's what I think happened.
That's true, too. I mean, that's definitely possible. It's just like that would be very isolating.
Yes.
For both of them.
Yeah.
But I feel for that mom. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I couldn't imagine living with the fucking Oracle of Delphi. And then forgetting about it.
That's the thing is, like, a lot of kids that have experiences like that, it, like, goes away when they get older. That's what happened to me. I had a lot of experiences when I was a kid, and it wasn't until I started doing this show and, like, ghost hunting and stuff that I started having more experiences again.
Mm.
Well, that is volume 2 of Paranormal Reddit Encounters. And thank you, Tyler and Charlie, for hopping on. This was great.
Yeah, thank you for having us on. This is always fun to hang out, and thank you. Appreciate it.
Well, thank you, everybody, so much for listening to today's episode. I hope you enjoyed it. If you did, be sure to let me know. If you're watching on YouTube, you can hit all the buttons, like the video, subscribe, drop a comment down below. Which story was your favorite? Which ones did you find believable? And if you've had a similar experience, I definitely want to hear it. If you are listening on a podcast platform, I would love it so much if you followed the podcast, leave a 5-star review. And if you want to support the show further, that's always great. There's a lot of support links down in the show notes, including the Patreon. So that's patreon.com/perplexitymysterypodcast. Tyler, Charlie, thanks again. You guys are my podcast friends. And someday I will venture to Ohio. I'm sad I can't be at your live show.
That's okay. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
right.
We don't blame you. No one's literally to middle of nowhere.
Well, it's also, I have multiple trips I'm taking this year, and it's right in between two big ones, and I just literally don't have the money.
Yeah, that's okay.
I would love to. Or if you guys come to Texas too at any point, we got to do something. But thank you all so much for listening. As always, I'm Kadra. This is Tyler and Charlie. Check out their podcast, Believing the Bizarre. And you all are amazing. I hope you have a great week. Please stay safe, and I will talk to you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Perplexity, a Mystery Podcast, is hosted, written, and produced by me, Kadra Brannon. This show is proud to be a part of the Black Cat Network. Assistant editor is Charlie Leopold. Theme song by Patrick Thompson. All music used in this episode is from Pixabay. If you like the show, be sure to share it with others and leave a 5-star rating and review. Contact, support, and merch links can be found in the episode description. To unlock early ad-free episodes and exclusive bonus content, join the Perplexed Society at patreon.com/perplexitymysterypodcast. Listener stories, topic requests, and business inquiries can be submitted to perplexitymysterypodcast.com or emailed to perplexitymysterypodcast@gmail.com. Until next week, stay curious.
I've been getting so many ants in here because it's springtime. I don't know if you get a lot of ants during springtime, but I got this bug catcher, and I've been using it so many times now.
They just keep coming back in.
I want you to, because we have one at the studio too. Yeah. We haven't had to use it at the studio, but
wasps don't get it.
They probably,
wasps are dead. I'm going to kill them.
No, I had a wasp.
How does it work?
So basically, is you open this up. It's like a little thing here. So you can open it up. So you just put this over it. And then once they're inside, you just close it slowly.
Whoa.
And then they're inside. And then you can just take them outside.
Yeah.
What attracts them to go in there?
Nothing.
Your hand.
You put it over top. Oh. Like if it was on here, you would just go like this and then close it.
It's like a little trap door almost.
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
Yeah. Unless it's a wasp, I'm just going to, I cannot stand a wasp.
Yeah. Wasps are mean. Well, that's fun. I thought it was going to zap them or something, but that's humane at least.
Oh, Tyler would never.
Hey, everybody. Lady Luck here. And we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on FinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.